When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we give the privilege today of hearing the holy words of Jesus and seeing Jesus' actions and taking care of those who thirst and hunger. Woe to those who are hungry and don't find the bread of life. These 5,000 men, not including women and children, that heard Jesus preach, that was in Jesus' presence and saw this miracle, were not just fed with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but they were also fed with the Holy Spirit, with the very extension of the Logos, speaking the Logos. So the Word, the Son of God, was speaking out into the world the things of God's kingdom. And so these people were experiencing something that no one had experienced before. God had provided for them in physical necessity and also filled their cups up spiritually. And so we see in this gospel lesson a reminder of the Eucharist. We have a breaking of bread. Jesus lifts it up, or breaks bread, lifts it up, gives thanks. We have a giving of thanks. And then we have a distribution of the bread. So this reminds us, right, of the daily sustenance that we get every time we come to Mass, every time we come to church. We receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ and the bread of life. You know, in St. John's Gospel, he has multiple I am statements. And the I am is the sacred name of God. When Moses was in the wilderness and the fire, the bush spontaneously combusted with the burning bush, Moses said, "Who art you? Who art thou?" And God said, "I am." So in one of these statements, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And there is a huge connection here. And this is the beauty of the way that God works in and through his holy word, and the way that God works in and through his creation, is all of these things tie back to one another. And we see in the Old Testament, the New Testament is concealed. And in the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed. And so when we look upon the Exodus event with Moses in the burning bush, and we see the birthplace of David, which is a Bethlehem, and in Hebrew, that's Bet Lechem, which is house of bread. And so we have the bread of life, or the bread of heaven, being born in the house of bread and bringing us heavenly bread to sustain our bodies and our souls. And we see in the Exodus event in particular, with the manna, a prefigurement of the ministry of Jesus and the Son of God coming to earth and filling our hearts and our souls to the brim. Now we see in the Exodus event, there is this a storm of quail. So many, you can't even see the ground. There's so many quail. And this heavenly bread that comes down in the dew of the morning and dries up into little round pebbles. And the Hebrew people call it manna, which in Hebrew is, what is it? And so they've been asking themselves, yeah, what is this? That's what they named this mysterious bread that God sustained them in the wilderness for years and years and years. What is it? They had no clue. We have no clue what it is. So the Israelites have been asking themselves this question for 1,500 years, give or take, up to this point, up to Jesus's coming. And we see the answer to this question of what is it in the person of Jesus, the bread. So the bread of heaven coming down in the manna in the wilderness is a prefigurement of the Son of God coming down and being the bread of heaven, the bread that sustains us. And we see a fulfillment here in this passage and also in the Eucharist. Now, I do want to clarify that the manna that the Israelites sustained themselves on in the wilderness is not the same as the Eucharist. We see in the Gospels, Jesus says, Your forefathers survived, ate the bread of manna in the desert, and are now dead. But I give you eternal life. I am the bread of life. And so I do want to clarify that it is not Jesus in the manna at the time of the Exodus, but it is a type of a revealing of the Old Testament in the New, and Jesus is the bread from heaven. And so it is a beautiful, full picture here. It comes full circle that Jesus, the Son of God, the Logos, would come down and become man in the house of bread and give us eternal life and be the bread of heaven, the in which that if we partake, we will live forever with him in paradise. And this is something that is important to understand, because if we look here in the gospel, he tells the disciples to gather up. So the disciples are ministering to these 5,000 men plus however many women and children. There's thousands of people, and they are tired. They are in the wilderness. Their tanks are completely empty, and Jesus multiplies enough bread for them to gather up what's left over. And there are 12 baskets left over, one for each apostle. And they're not only these baskets are filled to the brim. And this is an important spiritual rule for us, is that God, when we give ourselves to him, he will never leave us empty. He will always fill our cups so that we might overflow into the cups of others. When we give our all for the kingdom of God, he is merciful. He is kind and loving. And he will fill our cups again. He will fill our baskets all the way up to the top with the bread that he multiplies. And when we find ourselves in a place where we're thinking, oh, I don't have time for that, you know, or this and this and this. I don't have time to, it'd be nice if I rolled down my window and prayed for this man that's sitting here begging for money. But, I don't have the emotional bandwidth today. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will give us this energy, will give us the bandwidth. If we ask the Holy Spirit to give us bandwidth, he will do it. He is a God of multiplication. We see that here. He is a God of abundance. And we see in the bread itself, the 5 barley loaves, St. Augustine talks about how it's analogous to the scriptures. So you break open these bread and you smell it. And it's just a beautiful hot out of the oven smell of bread. And it's pleasing to the soul. It's pleasing to the body. It's really good. And Augustine says that this is how the scriptures are. If we would only open up God's holy word and receive the good things that he has for us, God will bless us and fill our cups again when we are tired. And because it is pleasing to our soul, God's precepts, we see this in the Psalms, sweeter are your precepts than honey, O Lord, honey from the honeycomb. There is a beauty in the kingdom, in the scriptures. And this is a mystical here because, again, the Logos, the Son of God, is preaching in and through the written scriptures already, the Old Testament, which he wrote because St. John of Damascus says that mysteriously and mystically, the scriptures are a mystical incarnation, a second incarnation of Jesus in the Holy Word. Because Jesus is the Logos, and the Logos is the Word, and the Word is the Scriptures. And so all of these things are connected to one another, and God gives us all the tools we need to do His will and to do the good things for His kingdom. And so I want to challenge you today, in the midst of we're over halfway through Lent, to really go out and into your cups. You know, maybe the bottom of our cups are getting a little stagnant. There's a little gross. It's getting a little gross at the bottom of our cup because we're not emptying it out into others. But we serve a God who does fill our cups, who does sustain us and shape in us and mold us into His image. And so this reminds me of the old Southern Gospel hymn called "Fill My Cup, Lord." And it goes like this. "Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up, make me whole." Brothers and sisters, this should be our cry today. We find ourselves being nurtured by the liturgy of the word and the liturgy of the table in the Eucharist and in the scriptures. We find ourselves being filled with God's graces through the sacraments, through the Holy Spirit, the comforter that Jesus sends. So let us go out into the world and share His love. Let us get uncomfortable, because God is worthy to get uncomfortable for. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.